What's up, everybody? This is Gary from Hoops and Cards. We are part of the NoOffseason.com sports card network and proud of it. Also, be sure to check out HoopsandCards.com for all of our information, links to our Discord, blog articles for the upcoming NBA season. And of course, shout out and thanks to our affiliates, Market Movers. You can save 20% after a free 14-day trial. Visit MarketMoversApp.com and use the promo code NoOffseason. Whatnot, get a free $15 credit on Whatnot by joining through whatnot.sportscardstrategy.com. And Graybos, shout out to Graybos, get 10% off any purchase at graybos.co by using the promo code STRATEGY2023. And now let's get down to business, the podcast of Hoops and Cards.
What's up, Dub Nation? This is Chris Paul. We're here at Media Day. Let's get it.
What's up, guys? This is Andy from the Football Card Quest, and you're watching the Hoops and Card Show from the NoOffseason.com Sports Card Network. Be sure to check out FootballCardQuest.com for in-depth football card research and selling tips, because we all know there is no off-season.
This is way too much fun having Chad Gill with us here at Hoops and Cards to talk a bit more about the guesses. We talked about Cam Thomas already. Chad, I'd love to know, who are some of the emerging young players, or the players that you're like, oh, I got to get this player or flip these cards before somebody else notices how good this guy actually is?
I love these questions. I have different levels of guesses. I have guesses, and then I have wild guesses. My wild guess that I've kind of planted my flag on the no off season sports card strategy show is Simone Fontecchio.
Okay,
he plays for the Utah Jazz. He's about the 10th or 11th player on the team. But the other night, a couple of players got in foul trouble. The Jazz.
You messaged me, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Like, hey, he got in.
they were getting blown out, and he drops 13 points in 18 minutes. He was electric when he was on the floor. When you watch that guy play in the FIBA World Championships, that guy was every game he played, he was the best player on the floor, except when they played the United States team. He was the best player on the floor. He just has skills. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take the Utah Jazz to recognize his abilities, but if he gets in a few of these games and plays 18 minutes and drops 13 points, somebody has to recognize the ability that this kid has. I'm high on him. I don't know how long it's going to take, if it's going to take 3 years for him to come to light, but that is one of my wild guesses.
Yeah, how old is he?
He's 24 years old.
Okay.
So he's not young, but he's not old. He's got a few years, you know, he's got 3 to 5 years left in his prime. He might only get to play. I'm thinking that, see, his contract is up at the end of this year, so we'll see if the Jazz renew him, or if he ends up going to a team that he can get some more playing time. But if it isn't this year, in the next year or two, you're going to hear Fontecchio, and he's going to be a sleeper.
Qualifies as a wild guess, Chad.
Yes, that's a wild guess.
Definitely, off the beaten path of like former first rounders. So who else you got?
I like Emmanuel Quickley. Emmanuel Quickley is a player that I could foresee turning into the next Tyrese Maxey.
Let's not get too crazy with these expectations here. Tyrese Maxey, we're talking rarefied air, but go ahead.
Well, I think Quickley has that ability. I'm a University of Kentucky fanatic. My personal collection, I've got thousands of NBA Kentucky basketball players and cards. So when it comes to Kentucky players, I know my players, and Quickley is a bona fide stud that is caught in a bad situation right now, but he's the sixth man, sometimes the seventh man, I don't think the Knicks are utilizing him very well. I think it's going to take an injury or a trade or a free agent signing when his contract is up for him to get out of New York. But I really like Quickley.
I watched him last night, by the way, and I think Thibodeau is screwing this up. You're absolutely right. They don't know how to use him. They brought him in against the Cavaliers. He barely played in the first half. Second half, he comes in, rattles off 15 points just like that. And I'm like, the game's over. They brought Quickley. It was a closer game, like 5 to 10 points difference for a while. The Cavs would make a run and tie it. Then Quickley comes in, game over. Like,
yeah,
he was the difference down the stretch. Like, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so I like Quickley. I like two on the Spurs. With the addition of Wembanyama, there's two players that I've been buying with the anticipation that they could turn out to be good guesses. One is Keldon Johnson. Keldon Johnson was clearly the best player on the Spurs prior to Wembanyama. He hasn't gelled as well as I thought he would with Wembanyama so far, but I think that if the Spurs can continue to do well and win, like last night against the Suns, Keldon Johnson was a huge part of that spark at the end that came back. The other guy is Devin Vassell. I think those are the two guys on the Spurs that I like to take a couple of guesses on. And then a little bit, I don't know if this is halfway between a wild guess and a guess, is Cole Anthony.
Yeah.
Cole Anthony has some incredible talent. He's stuck on a team that doesn't get a lot of national attention. But in the first week, he's been sneaky good. Don't know if anybody's noticing, but he's starting and he's playing 25 minutes a game and he's putting up some pretty good numbers so
far. Wait, so they did start him now?
Yeah, the last two games he started.
Okay, good. Because they came out originally with Fultz and Suggs.
Yeah.
And those guys are so inconsistent.
The last two games, Suggs has come off the bench.
Good.
Good. So I don't know if that's going to continue. I think they're just trying to find a rotation that works. So, you know, he may end up back as the sixth man or whatever. But Cole Anthony is another player I think is sneaky good that could cause a guest to become profitable. And then I one on my Milwaukee Bucks, I love Marlon Beauchamp. The very first practice Damian had as a Milwaukee Buck, after practice, they were like, so what is it like playing with the Greek Freak? And he said, whoa, 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 timeout. Dame said, timeout. He said, let's not talk about Giannis just yet. He said, I want to talk about a player that impressed the daylights out of me. He said, I knew that they had him, but playing in a practice with him, this guy's got mad skills, and it's Marlon Beauchamp. He said, you're going to hear this name for years to come. This guy is good. That came from Dame time. After the first practice, he didn't want to talk about Giannis. He wanted to talk about Marlon Beauchamp.
Right.
So I've been buying up some Silver Prism Beauchamps.
That's
you
great.
You can get them for $3 to $5.
Okay.
And I'm buying them up and sending them to PSA. And if they get some tens, he gets a little bit of playing time. Who knows what might happen from there?
Well, and there's a lot to Chad. That's a great example. There's a lot to hearing how players talk about each other, especially great players like Damian Lillard. I'm a similar situation here. A couple of years ago, the Cavs had a backup point guard who was kind of struggling, and a couple of the when he did get time in, like there were other NBA star point guards that were starting to talk about him. This is Darius Garland. I got a little Darius Garland figurine. I didn't know if it would show up on the screen, but yeah. but there's a player that for a while was buried behind Colin Sexton and whatever else the Cavs were doing offensively, and an injury opened up to have Garland running the offense for a while. I feel like Emmanuel Quickley, Cole Anthony, you're right. These guys are great players. They just need a consistent opportunity, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Austin Reeves is another one that played well in the FIBA World Championships. I am not high on Reeves in terms of long-term flipping because I don't think he's that great, but he's a great role player, and he's on the Lakers, so he's going to get some run. He's going to get some publicity, so I think there's an opportunity to – to make some money on him. But I'm not keeping him in my personal collection or anything like that. But then Jabari Smith Jr. is probably my number one guest this year. I went out, I bought 20 PSAs. I'm sending them to PSA. I bought 20 Silver Prism Jabari Smiths. 10 of them are cracked red ice. 10 of them are the standard silver. I just got one of my grades popped that had some of the cards in, and I got 4 out of 5 came back 10s. So nice. I'm excited about that. But I think Jabari Smith Jr. is my number one. Hang my hat on who's going to have a breakout season this year. So far in the first week, he hasn't really given me anything to make me think I'm right. But just looking at the metrics, I like when I'm making predictions for my guesses, Gary, and I don't know how you do it. I like to look at the last 20 games of last year, last 15 to 20 games. How did these players do at the end of last year when they got a little bit of run, when their teams were out of contention? They wanted to see what they had for the future. How did these players do? And Smith last year was an absolute beast the last 3 weeks of the season.
He was.
So I think that that he is a great guess. I don't know if I'm going to be right, but that's my number one guess.
Well, and the thing you just said about knowing what a player's done in the last 15 or 20 games of the previous season, I'm guessing, this is my guess, Chad, that like you didn't have to go back and do a big search for names to look at their last 15 games. You just knew because you follow the NBA every day at some level and you start to see his numbers go up and you register, it registers somewhere up here. I should check on Jabari, a high draft pick who can shoot, who they've got big plans for. And I know he was doing something in March and April. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like you're a fan. You're not just a card investor. You're paying attention. I love it.
The only other guess I can give you that I've speculated on and bought some of his cards is Johnny Davis. Johnny Davis is another player that
mentioned him on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. He's another player that had a terrific last 3 weeks of the season last year. His workouts, I like seeing some of his workouts during the summer league. He blew up in the summer league. Like he looked like he was a man playing at in a high school arena. Like nobody could guard him. He looked like he did when he played for the Badgers.
There's why you like him. The Badger.
Well, yeah, actually I didn't like him when he was a Badger. So I don't know if that's the connection, but when he got drafted, I actually voted him to be the biggest bust as a rookie. His rookie season was somewhat of a bust. So I was right there. But now in his second year, I really think he's taken some nice steps forward. And so Johnny Davis is the last guess that I have for you.
Okay. Awesome. And it is fun to speculate. It's fun to, these are like penny stocks or trying to buy, you know, bargain bins and then watch what a player can do. I mean, last year, a lot of people made money on Cam Thomas, you know, having some big games and Christian Braun and Caleb Martin. What about like, players that you see are already good or great, but this year could be the year that you'll wish you had bought, you know, in advance, because this guy, maybe it's Lillard in a new setting. Maybe it's Tyrese Maxey making the All-Star team. I think that's a given at this point. But like, what are the players that are, you know, that you're like, man, this is a guy who this year be ready to pop.
All right, so the first one I'm going to give you is a guy that you might not see coming. He does have Wisconsin ties, so maybe you will see it coming. Tyler Hero.
Okay.
Tyler Hero has a chip on his shoulder, and the chip is large. And it's because all offseason they talked about he was the centerpiece for the trade to try and get Dame to come to Portland.
Right? He's expendable, and he's not good enough because they didn't want that package anyway.
Pat Riley has now spoken, trying to unruffle those feathers, and Pat Riley has come out and said, Tyler Hero was never part of the trade package. Tyler Hero was untouchable. Tyler Hero is a huge part of our cornerstone moving forward. He's the second best player on the team to Jimmy Butler. He's the face of the future of the franchise.
Come on, man.
Have you not seen this?
No,
Pat
I haven't.
Riley is just Pat Riley has just like gone all over himself to make sure that Tyler Hero knows that he is beloved by Pat Riley and the Miami Heat. So he's got this large chip on his shoulders because I don't think Hero believes anything that Riley is saying. I think he believes the media. And so far this year, I don't know if you've noticed, but Hero has been putting up some big numbers. He's getting the run. He's getting the playing time. He's getting to start. And I think that it would not surprise me, bold prediction, Tyler Hero makes the All-Star game this year. I think you're going to want some Tyler Hero. If that happens, his card prices could go crazy.
I like it. That was a curveball.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one that you maybe didn't see coming. Keegan Murray, another one. I think Keegan Murray kind of came out of nowhere last year. Arguably the third best player on the team, kind of the third wheel, if you would. But Keegan Murray, in the playoffs might've been the second best player on the team. Keegan Murray has, a very good upside to his NBA career. I think Keegan Murray's a player that, again, could become an all-star this year as a third best player on the team, which might be a bit of a reach to have three players from one team make the all-star game, but it wouldn't surprise me. I like Keegan Murray to make that next step. And then we've already talked about him, so I don't know as though he took a leap last year to stardom. He went to from stardom to he's going to go to infinity and beyond this year, and that's Tyrese Maxey. If you don't have yourself some Tyrese Maxey, Tyrese Maxey is going to show that. I think he's going to make Philadelphia go, Harden who? Why did we even care that Harden was there?
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it. Tyrese Maxey is the best player on the Sixers. It is not Joel Embiid.
Guys, I promise you, I did not pay Chad to say this. I did not bring him on the show knowing he was going to say this. I clearly agree with you, Chad, and I'm curious, like, what is it about Maxey that you're like, that has you saying these things? What is it that has you such a believer?
Well, watching him play, you know, for starters, he's got the pedigree. He's got the, you know, he's got the UK background, which, you know, I'm a UK thumper, so I might be deluded a little bit from that, but just watch the kid play. He takes, you know, who he reminds me the way he plays a lot of Anthony Edwards. Everybody talks about Anthony Edwards being the next great superstar in the NBA. I love me some Anthony Edwards. I'll take Tyrese Maxey every day of the week over Anthony Edwards. Tyrese Maxey has a higher ceiling. Tyrese Maxey is a better handler. Tyrese Maxey is a better shooter. Where Tyrese Maxey might fall short of Anthony Edwards is he doesn't have the dunking ability. You know, those highlight reel dunks where you watch Ant-Man go in and dunk over the top of somebody.
Yeah.
But Tyrese Maxey is going to be, within the next couple of years, he's going to be one of the 8 or 10 players. He's the face of the NBA. He is that good.
I've been trying not to say he's the next Kobe. Like he's got energy. He's a leader. I wonder about the timing of this Harden deal. Like if it was like, look, we can't have Harden back in the building, getting in the way of what Maxey has stepped into and is thriving in. But so Chad, if you are, and I assume you are, like if you're listening, if you're you're thinking I'm going to invest in Tyrese Maxey, when and what should people be looking at card-wise?
Right now I would be buying, if you're looking to buy pre-graded, anything that's a PSA 10, anything PSA 10. I prefer, and I think it's easiest because they're the most liquid, would be this Prism Base, Prism Silver, Optic Hollow, and Rookie Ticket Autos. That's where I would, the only reason I say Prism Base is because it gives, not everybody can afford those other cards. You know, the Prism Silvers are, you know, $400, $450. The Optic Hollows are $250. The Rookie Ticket Autos are $550. And a PSA 10, I'm talking. So not everybody has $300 to $500 to invest. I'm sure that's listening to this right now. Get yourself a Prism Base. You can get a Prism Base Tyrese Maxey for under $100. They're very liquid. They're very easy to come. They 3 to 5 sales per day. That's how liquid they are. When you look at eBay, 3 to 5 PSA 10 base Prism Maxey sell per day. When you have that type of volume, and people, as good as he was last year with Harden out of the way, some people are going to be like, where did this kid come from?
He's been there the whole time.
He's been there the whole time. Yep. But at the end of the year, he's going to be in the top 5 to 10 in scoring in the NBA. He's going to be in the top 5 to 10 in assists in the NBA. He is legitimate. He's the real deal. Do not sleep on Tyrese Maxey. He is a good player that is going to become a great player this year. Sticking with my Kentucky theme, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, is another player that he's not a guess. He is a bona fide star, and he's going to take another step this year. He took a big step last year, and many people I know are recommending that he's a sell right now, because sell while he's high.
No,
I don't think that these people have an idea that SGA has another gear left in him. We have not seen the top of SGA yet. And I think that they are going to be this year's Sacramento Kings. They're going to come from out of the playoffs to being they might be a top four team. They might be in the top four in the West, record-wise, at the end of this year. And then people are going to be like, how did that happen? I think the Kings are going to fall back a little bit this year, and that's going to leave room for them to jump up into the top four. So do not sleep on SGA either. He is the real deal.
So, Chad, I got a question for you, and I want to respect your time and get to a couple like final questions. One is, a year ago, as the season began, one of the guys we were all talking about as taking the next step and one of the faces of the league was Ja Morant. And I don't question Ja Morant's talent. I do believe there's a day where he's back and doing all the things we saw him doing a year ago. What's your take on Ja Morant as a card investment? There is a case for wait till he comes back and it's too late. Like, you might be able to get a good deal right now on Ja Morant.
I have bought a ton of Ja Morant this offseason, a lot. My favorite card to buy right now is his Prism layup variation, fast break layup variation. When you look at his Prism population numbers, his base is 20,000. His silver is 4,000. This fast break layup photo variation, PSA 10, is less than 300.
Wow.
People don't realize how rare that card is. And I've been buying that card this offseason for around $300. That card 2 years ago, when he was going crazy, was selling for $2,000. It's a $300 card right now. If he comes back and he plays, if he does not have any more off the field issues, because if he does one more, he's out for a year, his card values are going to tank. So I get there's a lot of risk involved with Ja Morant. But I believe that because of the money involved, somebody shook him up and said, hey, knock this crap off. You need to grow up quickly. I think he's going to come back. I think he's going to have, just like hero. I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, and he's going to have to, he's going to be looking to prove to everybody that he is the star that he is. And when that happens, his cards are going to start to rise. Yeah. Since 2019, his cards have always been neck and neck with Zion, depending upon who's hot, who's not. One, you know, they've gone back and forth as to who was the top card in that set. Right now, he's almost half the price of Zion.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize how cheap his stuff has gotten. His Prism base cards, you can buy for $50. I don't care if there's 20,000 of them or not.
In that's a PSA 10?
Yeah, in a PSA 10, they're $50.
That's crazy. That's great.
20,000 of them or not, with the demand and the new people coming in with Fanatics and everything else, that's a $100 card all day long.
Yeah.
You know, there. If he comes back and just plays even close to what he's played in the past few years, the card's going to go from 50 to 100 by March.
And he's only going to be out another, 20 games, 21 games, and he's back.
Yeah, he's out 20 more games, and he's back. He's able to practice with the team, so he's going to be, he's going to be in shape. He can't travel with the team. He's going to be in shape and ready to go, and he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. So I love Ja Morant as an investment, but it comes with a huge don't spend the money if you can't afford to lose it, because he is one more flashing a gun away from his cards going to zero.
It's definitely a risk. It's like Zion's health, but different. So I got one more question, Chad, before we go. And I got to admit, it's selfish because I did this a year ago and it made money. I want to know if you think it's going to do it again. Most of what we talk about here is basketball cards, and I love the guys you mentioned that I believe everything you said about Maxi and SGA and Anthony Edwards. I start to wonder over these next few weeks, should I be looking into buying Ohtani again? Like the off season of baseball. I know with his maybe not pitching as much or whatever, but last year I was able to get some Ohtanis for cheap in December and January, and then flip 3 months later at the beginning of the season. Is that a thing with him again? Or
yes, his cards have bottomed out. I believe they're at bottom right now. They've kind of flatlined. They've hit bottom and kind of flattened out. It's a much higher ceiling than what it was a year ago. So it's considerably more money than it was a year ago, but I believe that they've bottomed out. And I think if you're going to get in on flipping Ohtani, you got to do it before he signs the contract. The big hype moment is going to be when he signs that $400 million or $600 million. I mean, they were talking it was going to be $1 billion, but now that he can't pitch for the first year, right. I don't think he's going to get that too?
Seven. Is he going to stay with the Angels?
I don't know where he's going to go. I'm going to predict that he does not return to the Angels. I don't think he'll come back to the Angels. I really don't. I'm not sure where he's going to go. I thought whoever ends up getting his best friend, who is eligible to get signed this year from the Japanese league, whoever gets him, I think, has a really good chance of landing Ohtani, because they share the same agent. They share the same interpreter. They've been best friends. They played together in Japan. Ohtani has said that he wants to play with him again in the United States. So I think one team is going to end up with both of them. I don't think the Angels are going to end up with both. So I don't know who's going to make that splash. Could it be the Yankees? Could it be the Dodgers? Could it be, the Rangers? I'm not sure who that's going to be, or the Mets. Maybe even the Cubs, who knows? It's somebody that's not afraid to spend money. That's not afraid to spend the money. But I do think right now, from now till probably mid-December, is a good time to buy Ohtani, because he's probably not going to sign that contract until, I would guess, maybe February-ish. Okay. You know, so when he signs that contract, there's going to be a lot of hype around him. There's talk that he's going to still be hitting next year. So I do think that Ohtani is a good buy from now till the end of, you know, maybe mid-December.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm going to jump in again then. Chad, it's been great having you here on Hoops and Cards. Hey, how can our listeners find you, hear your takes on a regular basis? You obviously are up to date and you're one of us. Like you are in the mix of buying and selling on a regular basis. Like when a guy says, I just bought 20 Jabari Smith silver, you know, and sent them off to grade. And I'm like, that's my guy right there. So how can we connect with you on, more frequently?
I am on Chalks, Chalx underscore cards, on eBay. That's my eBay store, my Instagram handle. I have a Facebook page under that. So Chalks, and that's the initials of me and my kids. So it's C for Chad, H for Harley John, A for Aaliyah, L for Lorelei, and X for Xavier. Chalks,
nice.
Underscore cards. That's the easiest way to find me. Otherwise, I am a regular on the Sports Card Strategy Show and nooffseason.com for writing articles for how to invest. So, and hopefully I will be a return visitor here on Hoops and Cards. This was a blast. Love the show. Love the podcast. Love you, Gary. I think you're amazing. I think this show, what you do with this podcast is great, and been a long time listener, and I love the show.
Thank you so much. It's an honor. It's a lot of fun to meet you and get to hang out like this. Thanks for all you do and for being a part of the Sports Card Strategy Show. I think it's awesome to do that Monday mornings, right? I mean, that's a time commitment, but it's been awesome to see that thing grow. So
yeah, I have one last parting thing I want to talk about here.
Let's hear it.
Hang on, my somebody unplugged. I'm about to die.
Uh-oh.
Give me a second. Oh, I don't know where somebody took my cord. So am I still going?
I can hear you. I can hear you. I can't see you.
Scoot Henderson, his first week, his plus minus was minus 16.4.
Okay. After
first three games of an NBA season, for players that have logged equal minutes to his first three games, there have been 2,980 players in the last 30 years that have logged that many minutes in the first three games. He has the worst plus minus of 2,980 players. So,
ouch.
ouch. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of a fun stat that I would leave for the listeners. He is ranked 2,980th amongst players in the last 30 years that have logged equal to his number of minutes to start a season. Dead last. That is not the way you want to start an NBA career.
That is Chad's love note to all the Portland fans listening. here's your new savior. Oh man, yeah, I know his shooting percentage has been a little off to say the least. Oh man, well, I'm still not over Anthony Simons getting hurt on game two and out for 6 weeks or whatever it is. I think that was a great opportunity for him to spread his wings a little bit, and Portland's got to be frustrated.
Well, had he not got hurt, he would have been one of my players. When you said, who are you expecting to take the leap this year? He was on my list. I've invested in him and then he got hurt. So I left him off the list because he got hurt. But Anthony Simons is a guy that has a lot of talent if he can, when he makes it back on the court.
Yeah. And like Philly, not putting someone in front of Maxey, I like that they at least the start of the season, wanted the ball in Simons' hands and he was going to be the leading usage guy, not just leading score, but like the usage. So we'll see. 4 weeks can go quickly, right?
It can.
And you have a great point about Ja being back before you know it. I don't want to regret the obvious buy and flip his PSA 10s for $50. You're kidding me?
Yeah, his PSA 10 bases, they're about $50 right now. They've been hovering in that $50 to $60 range for about the last 60 days. But a better buy than that is if you're going to do a base, spend $100 and get his base layup variation. Those are going for $90 to $100. And instead of a 20,000 population, there's only 500 of them.
Wow.
So it's about twice the investment. But when you talk about rarity, when he comes back and people start looking for his stuff, that $100 investment is going to go to $300-$400, whereas the base is going to go from $50 to $100. Because it's a little more rare, that $100 investment is going to triple or quadruple, because when you have four people that want three cards, supply doesn't meet demand, it drives up the prices.
Right. And if there's an auction, it only takes two of you to drive up the price.
Exactly. So if you're looking for some good flip potential, look at Jaws layup variation prisms. Those are much, much lower populations, and they're not much more than the silvers and than the bases.
Well, the thing, you're giving us specific plays here. Like, before I even buy the card, I know what my plan is for it. And if I'm hearing you right, I can go buy three or four, if they're available, those variation base PSA 10 Ja Morants, buy them now or next week, sell them in a month, month and a half when Ja comes back, and then buy my Shohei Ohtanis.
Yep.
Am I right?
That's right.
All right. And I can thank you and send you a commission check in the process. Awesome. Well, Chad, thanks again, man. Great talking with you. And thanks again for being on Hoops and Cards, bro.
Thanks for having me.
Kind of hunting these rhinos.
Now they get it to Bane. A pump fake, a euro, and a finish by Desmond Bane.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. It means a lot that you would listen to our podcast and take some time. Love for you to follow up by checking us out at hoopsandcards.com. Remember, we are part of the nooffseason.com sports card network. Thrilled about that. And they bring us so many resources as basketball card collectors and investors, like our partnership with Market Movers. You guys can save 20% on this great resource after that free 14-day trial. Just check out marketmoversapp.com and use the promo code nooffseason. And Whatnot, you get a free $15 credit on Whatnot. Who turns down free money? I don't. But you join through whatnot.sportscardstrategy.com. And then, of course, Graybos. Get 10% off any purchase at graybos.co by using the promo code STRATEGY2023. Friends, thanks so much for listening. I hope you'll tune in next time as we continue overview and encouragement for you, the basketball card collector and investor here at Hoops and Cards. Have a great week. See ya.